Earlier this week, we talked about the opposition to the building of a Marine base in Okinawa, where there are already dozens of military bases. Shortly afterward, retired Colonel Ann Wright contacted us that she was back home in Honolulu and that one of her recent stops had been Okinawa. The former Army veteran and career diplomat became an activist after her resignation from the government in opposition to the war in Iraq in 2003. We periodically check in with her about her activities, and she joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
I think every time we talk to you, it's more than just a travelogue. It's a case of, has Ann gotten herself arrested again? But in this case, not. You just came back from Okinawa, and you heard our conversation earlier this week with John Lettman. You've had some other experiences there as a veteran. What have you been doing?
Well, the trip that I took to Okinawa was with a Veterans for Peace delegation, a national delegation, where we were going not only to Okinawa, but also Jeju Island, South Korea, on the issue of U.S. military bases around the world, really. And with the U.S. pivot to Asia and the Pacific, we wanted to go to those two places because there are new military installations, the one in Jeju Island being built by the South Korean Navy, or actually by the corporations led by Samsung, naval base that now is virtually completed, a huge, huge naval base in a country that had plenty of military installations to start with, and yet it is built on a pristine island called the Island of Peace, Jeju Island. I'd been there four times with delegations in solidarity with citizen activists who said, don't build that naval base on our land. And why is it important for us as Americans is because the U.S. military ships will be using that new port as a part of the Aegis missile defense system, which the South Koreans have on their destroyers. So we wanted to go there in solidarity, even though that naval base, despite huge citizen opposition, the naval base has been built.
And that seems to be the situation that we're witnessing in Okinawa, watching what has been happening with the opposition there by citizens, by Okinawan government, the lawsuit with between Okinawan and Japan, all of that happening, and voices around the United States seemingly not being being heard.
Indeed, and the Okinawan people are mounting a massive protest against the building of yet one more military base. You know, in their island, 74% of all U.S. military bases in Japan are located in Okinawa. Most of them have been there for over 70 years. And they are doing a very good job in their protest to have the governor of the island saying to the federal government, we will not give you the permits to build this. And the mayor of Nago City, where the installation will be, saying, we will not let your trucks come into our area. So now it's up to us as American citizens if we feel that another military base is in somebody else's country is something that we oppose.
And how many bases are there, U.S. military bases around the world that are in other countries?
Well, there are over 800 U.S. military bases that still survive. Back during the Cold War, we had over 1,500 military bases in other people's countries. There has been a reduction, but then in key countries such as Germany, South Korea, and Japan, the United States still maintains a large number of bases. And particularly on the island of Okinawa, the citizen opposition to those bases for a variety of reasons, but one of which has been the sexual assault and rape of Okinawan women and children. The presence of the United States military after 70 years is something that a huge number of Okinawans say, it's time that you guys figure out how to do what you need to do in Asia and the Pacific, but don't have it on our island.
As a former member of the U.S. government, is there anything that you see that isn't happening that should be happening in terms of the opposition from citizens' organizations that would get the attention of the government in ways that maybe they're not getting now, clearly?
Well, I think in Japan, the Okinawans have definitely gotten the attention of the federal government. But here in the United States, those of us who feel that yet one more U.S. military base, and particularly in a pristine area of the South China Sea, its runways, I mean, you can kind of say, would we want to have the Japanese government come into San Francisco Bay and build some runways out in the middle of that? Or would we want a runway right in the middle of Waikiki Beach going out into the areas of the Pacific here? No, we wouldn't. And that's what the Okinawans are saying. So we in the United States need to buck up our activism with our own government. And indeed, we are. There are two cities that now have resolutions in support of the Okinawans who say no more bases here in our country, Berkeley and Cambridge. And in fact, here in Honolulu next week, we'll be having a hearing at the Honolulu City Council on Tuesday, January 12th at 1 p.m., we'll be having testimony from citizens here in our own community saying to our city council that they need to speak out on this. We'll also be having resolutions in the state legislature. Now, whether or not these resolutions will pass, we don't know, but it's the public education to let people know that the United States still has these bases.
As you are looking at this as only one of the places and issues that you follow, I want to go back for a little bit, because earlier last year we talked about the Code Pink group, which went to the demilitarized zone in North Korea, and that's going to come up again for you.
Yes, indeed. I was part of a 30-woman delegation to both North Korea and South Korea. One of the key organizers is Christine Ahn, right here from Honolulu. We wanted to follow on with that Women Cross the DMZ project with another project, which will involve North Korean women and South Korean women meeting in a place in Asia. We aren't disclosing where at the moment, but an opportunity for them to be able to get together again to talk about the issues of peace, reconciliation on the Korean Peninsula, and of course with the nuclear explosion that happened in North Korea yesterday. It's very important that we not isolate North Korea, as the international community has been doing. The six-party talks have not taken place in a long, long time. And citizen diplomacy is what we can do, so we're doing it.
Is there something that you think that, given what we saw yesterday and the fact that some of that information is very sketchy and there isn't really agreement about what happened yesterday, that of talking to these women and having these women meet and obviously trying to protect where and when, although it will be soon, that they will be able to affect any change at all? I mean, despite the citizen diplomacy that you've been talking about that's been running forward, but given especially what we're seeing with Kim Jong-un and the way that he's been trying to somehow, you know, make sure that we all understand that he's in power.
Well, we don't know. And we don't know exactly what the relationships will be between the women, North Korean women, that will be on this delegation and the senior leadership of the government. They are approved by the government to come to this meeting, so there is some relationship. But for us, it's we would feel badly if we didn't try to do something. And you never can tell where there may be a breakthrough. So we want to have these discussions. The North Korean women and South Korean women actually met in December in Kaesong in North Korea, two groups of them. They will probably not be the same women, but the fact that women are meeting, and you just never can tell where this may lead. So rather than just saying we won't have anything to do with North Korea, we're going to isolate everyone, we feel that engagement is the way to do it, and we urge our country, rather than to just say, just to pillory and isolate North Korea, we've got to continue a very difficult dialogue.
It's sort of back to that idea that it's better to light a candle than curse the darkness.
Indeed.
With all the things that you've been doing and more that we haven't even discussed, do you at all fear for your safety these days?
No, not really. We do some very controversial things, and we are in the face of our own U.S. Political establishment, as well in the faces of the governments of some other countries. But if you let that deter you from what you think is right to do, then you'll be paralyzed. And I don't want to be paralyzed, so I don't worry much about that.
Or care about the size of that FBI file.
That's right. I think it's probably getting pretty big now.
Anne Wright, thanks so much for checking in.
Thank you.
Retired Colonel Anne Wright is a 29-year veteran of the U.S. Army and Army Reserves. She was also a U.S. diplomat for 16 years with U.S. embassies around the world. And in March 2003, she resigned in opposition to the war in Iraq. Since then, she's been challenging many U.S. policies on national security issues. She's also the co-author of a book Dissent Voices of Conscience.